I just really think that, you know, that there is going to be some changes in church, not just our church, the church, that I believe that the world is wanting to see a supernatural move. And I believe God is waiting on the church to awaken to that. I believe God is waiting on the church, because there should be supernatural things in the body of Christ. I mean, you still believe in miracles, all right? We should be seeing them. We should be seeing the supernatural. And I believe when that is starting to happen, you won't have to be concerned about getting people who are lost or don't know God to find out about God, or at least seek God out. And so I believe that. Anyway, just a couple of things before I start today. We are filling in the pool back in the back. I know some of you are disappointed in that you were hoping we were going to open it up. But we are filling it up with dirt. So if you want to be, and then we're going to have a pavilion over top of it, so we can do picnics and gatherings back there. So that's going to cost several thousands of dollars. So if you want to be part of that, just when you give, you can put on there, what? Pool?
Rehab.
Pool? Pool rehab.
Church beautification.
Just put something on there that we don't need an interpretation. Speaking of interpretation, you know, we were singing about incense going before God this morning. You know, and I just thought, you know, there could be some people that come to church that were not raised in church and have no clue about incense. And you think, wow, so do you all burn stuff and God gets a kick out of that or something, you know? But it means prayers going up before God. So I thought, I had a funny moment, just, you know. Jared was about, I don't know, he was about that tall, our age that was. We went to a church funeral that was not ours. It was somebody that I knew. And, but, you know, the priest, he was, you know, he gets the incense. How many of you have ever been to a Catholic, you know, and they just go back and forth, you know, and it starts smoking up. Jared clenched my hand. He says, "Are they going to do a sacrifice?" It was a funeral, and so it was so hard to get composure. I thank God I was in the back, and so because I really wanted to bust out laughing. And I said, "No, son, they're not going to do a sacrifice." So anyway, I thought sometimes, you know, the church needs to explain some things. Oh, that was funny. All right, Colossians chapter 1. Verse 13 and 14, this is a scripture for the month. For he has rescued us out of the darkness and gloom of Satan's kingdom, brought us into the kingdom of his dear son, who bought our freedom with his blood and forgave us all our sins. Do you know all your sins are forgiven today? I said, do you know all your sins are forgiven today? Hallelujah. You know, our founding fathers put it in the critical documents that dictated the vision for America, and that Americans would have the right to the pursuit of happiness. And I believe it's in all of us that we desire to be happy, you know. Am I speaking to the right crowd? I mean, y'all want to be happy. But happiness is not having the right circumstances. It's not. But happiness is one of the most important things in life. It is. And it's also been one of the hardest things to study. I'm going to read a study that was put out by Harvard. All right? So I'm going to do a lot of reading here. It was a survey of millennials. What age group is that? I forget how all of these break down. You know, the baby. I'm a baby boomer. After that, I have no clue. Is millennials next? Next gen is next? X-Gen. Oh. Anyway, it's people that are younger than me. And the question was, the survey was done, what are the most important life goals? What are your life goals? Not the most, but, you know, what are several of your life goals? Over 80% said to get rich. 80%. Over 50% said to become famous. There's a psychiatrist, Robert Waldinger, is the director of the Harvard study of this survey that was done, and was one of the longest and most complete studies of adult life ever conducted. He described some of the secrets to what he found out in a TED talk, and it says, this Harvard study of adult development may be the longest study ever done. For 75 years, they tracked the lives of 724 men. 75 years. It started back in 1938. So, and it went for 75 years. They were interviewed and asked questions every 2 years. They had to meet. More than 2,000 children of these families were added to the study. They tracked two groups of men. The first group, it was 268 Harvard sophomores as part of the grant study that led by this Harvard psychiatrist. And so the second group was 456 12 to 16-year-old boys who grew up in the inner city, Boston, as part of this study. So two major different groups. You got Harvard sophomores, and you've got young boys who grew up in the inner city of Boston. The researchers surveyed the men about their lives, including the quality of their marriages, job satisfaction, and social activities, every 2 years, and monitored their physical health, including they had chest x-rays, blood tests, urine tests, echocardiograms every 5 years. So, I mean, they really put these people through the grind. They became adults and entered all walks of life. They became factory workers, lawyers, doctors, bricklayers. One became the president of the United States. Some developed alcoholism, schizophrenia. Some climbed the social ladder from the bottom to the top. Some made the journey in the opposite direction. The Boston group of men said, "Why do you keep studying me? My life isn't that interesting." None of the Harvard never asked that question. All of them were interviewed in their living rooms. They get their medical records from their doctors. They draw their blood and even have their brain scanned. So this is intense. They interviewed their children, videotaped their conversations with their wives about their deepest concerns. Later, their wives became part of the study as well. After tens of thousands of pages of information, what have they learned from all of this? The lessons are not about wealth or fame or working harder. They came away with one major finding. Good relationships keep us happier and healthier. Three big lessons about relationships, he said. Close relationships. The men in both groups of the Harvard study who reported being closer to their families, their friends, and community tend to be happier and healthier than their less social counterparts. They also tended to live longer. By comparison, people who said they were lonelier reported feeling less happy. They also had worse physical and mental health. And the bottom line, this study said loneliness kills. In 2014, a review of dozens of studies published in the journal, this personality compass suggests that loneliness can get in the way of mental functioning, sleep, and well-being, which in turn increase the risk of illness and death. The second lesson they learned about relationships, quality, not quantity of relationships. It's not just being in relationships that matters. Married couples who said they argued constantly and had low affection for one another, which study authors defined as high conflict marriages, were actually less happy than people who weren't married at all, the Harvard study said. However, the effect of relationship quality seems to depend somewhat on age. In 2015, a study published in the journal that followed people for 30 years found that the number of relationships people had was, in fact, more important for people in their 20s. But the quality of relationships had a bigger effect on social and psychological well-being when people were in their 30s. The third lesson they learned, stable, supportive marriages. Being socially connected to others isn't just good for our physical health, it also helps stave off mental decline. People who were married without having divorce, separated, or having serious problems until age 50 performed better on memory tests later in life than those who were not, the Harvard study found. And also, this research, there was another research done that found that marriages, among other factors, was linked to lower risk of mild cognitive impairment and dementia. All of this suggests that relationships are critical to our health. Society places a lot of emphasis on wealth and leaning into our work. This Harvard gentleman said at Waldinger, but over and over, over these 75 years, he said, our study has shown that the people who fared the best were the people who leaned into relationships with family, friends, and community, including church. Relationships, it's vitally important. But having said all of that, the most important relationship is your relationship with God. Your relationship with God, because it will affect relationships horizontally. Your relationship vertically helps us in your relationships horizontally. And if you've been married more than 6 weeks, you know you need help. Y'all acting real holy today, yeah. Like you don't need help. I've been married for 34 years. I need more help today than I did after a month. Because you get set in your ways. You know, and this is why the grace message to me is vitally important. Because God has such an awesome relationship with you and me. He wants you and I to have a revelation of grace, not just so that helps you vertically, that your relationship's not just he loves us because of your performance, because now we know he loves you, period. And it has nothing to do with your performance.
Amen.
You know, I've been preaching this long enough that everybody should say amen to that, just saying. So let me say it one more time. So we all know that God loves us and it's not based upon our performance. That helps you with your relationship, not only with your spouse, but with your friends. I don't know about you, but I love when I don't have to walk on eggshells around people. This is why I love to preach, because I don't walk on eggshells. If you don't like what you hear, I'm not going to tiptoe around and try not to offend you. So I can offend you freely without having any hard feelings whatsoever. But anyway, my point is this, is that it's great having relationships that you're not walking on eggshells, that you can just be yourself. Aren't those the most awesome relationships? I mean, you could just be yourselves and you don't have to say, well, I'm going to keep this secret from my best friend because they may think that, you know, I'm weird. I told one of my friends, I said, well, you know, I think you're weird anyway. I didn't need to know that. And I like you anyway. I've known you've been weird for a long time. I'm serious. I said that. But anyway, this is the thing. When we understand how much God loves us, it's going to help you in your relationship. Relationships, I should say. And God wants us to love like he loves. And so we're going to look at this. We forgive others because he's forgiven us. And when you receive his forgiveness, it sets you free from hurt and unforgiveness. There's everybody here has been hurt and somebody has not said they're sorry. Cricket, cricket, cricket. But this is the thing. You and I should be mature enough to forgive them without having them to say they're sorry. That has set you free. Instead of you waiting. There's people who have waited until their deathbed and never heard it. How'd that work for you? In the back of your mind, you're always going, if you see him at Walmart. And it just causes your blood pressure to go up, causes your health to go down, causes stress to rise up. It's just not good for you. But guess what? If you see them and you've forgiven them, and you go, hey, how you doing? And they're going like, you mean you don't hate me? No. No, I don't hate you. When you know how much your Heavenly Father loves you, it empowers you to live life to the fullest, to be generous with your heart, to draw others into this great love. No matter how many times, you know, and people are people. Sometimes we get hurt by the people who are closest to us, and it makes you want to put up a wall. Instead of putting your heart out here, you take your heart and you don't let anybody see it, and you don't share it with anybody. And that's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. You have to be vulnerable. You just have to put yourself out there again and again and again. You say, well, I don't want to get hurt. Well, you know the healer lives inside of you. I said, you know the healer. He doesn't just care about your physical body getting healed. He cares about your soul getting healed, your emotions getting healed. He wants every part of you to be healed. Amen? So if you get hurt, just don't just try to take it out on that person and say, what did you say to me? Are you talking? Did you say that to me? You can take that before God and say, God, you know, they said this. Man, it just really hurt me. I've had to do that, not just once to God. God, you know, I said this to you before, you know, and I brought this hurt before you, but I'm not totally healed of this. I'm not totally let go of this. So, you know, God didn't say, hey, you already talked to me about that. God, man, you can go to God time and time and time and time and time again. And he says, it's great. Come here. Come here. Let me just love on you, Mike. Let me just love on you. And his love, and eventually, guess what? That love will consume any hurt in your heart. Any hurt in your heart. God's dream is for your relationships to be like the one he has with Jesus. God, do you think God and Jesus had a pretty good, have, had, and always will have a good relationship? 1 John 4:17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we now. Not when you get to heaven. As Jesus is. So let me just ask you this. I wrote these things down. How's Jesus today, right now? How is Jesus? You think Jesus is doing okay? Is Jesus sick today?
No.
No. Is Jesus struggling financially today? Is Jesus, you know, struggling with his emotions today? Is he lacking peace today or joy? How about happiness? You think God's looking down at America and he's doing that? No, he's not doing that. I said he's not doing that. He is happy today. And he is rejoicing over you today. I said he's rejoicing over you today. Amen. Oh, Pastor, you don't know. I got in a knockdown drag out with my wife, or I had some really bad thoughts, or, you know, I'm just getting over a hangover. I don't know. He's rejoicing over you today. If you did have a hangover and you're in church, man, I'm proud of you. I mean, that is awesome. Anyway, as he is, so are we. In this world, as he is right now today, so are you and I right now today in this world. So it really doesn't matter how or what's going on around us. If we can get a revelation of that, man, you'll just be laughing to yourself. Or maybe out loud, people go, what are you laughing at? Man, I'm just a happy person.
Amen.
I am just a happy person. So what do you think? How do you think about God today? That shapes people's future. There's people that they have their future shaped because they think God is after them or going to get them if they do anything wrong. or that he may put sickness upon them, or he may, you know, take something from them because he's a taker. And so their future will be shaped like that. This is why we need to rethink God and let the world know. We need to let people know, no, that's not my Father. He's not like that. God is calling people out of their fears into something higher. There's a scripture that the Lord gave me when we were missionaries in Africa. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19. The Lord God is my strength. He'll make your feet like deer's feet, and he will make you to walk on your high heels. Every time I say this, I have to give the... I am so glad I'm not a woman, man, because I've seen women walk on the high heels. It just looks painful. First of all, you're shoving all of your weight into that big of a pressure point on the bottom of your toe. Anyway... But you look good. You look good. And that's what matters. But anyway, so how did I get off on that? This scripture, it's talking about high heels. That's why. People think they came up with high heels. It was in the Bible, Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19. God will make your feet. He will make your feet. You know, I started thinking about that. That means I don't make my feet like that. He makes my feet. And what does he make my feet? He makes my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me to walk on my high. Your high place is different from my high place. But it's a high place. And God says, I'm going to cause your feet. You know, we went to Glenwood Springs Thursday and got back last night. And so for a minister's conference, and on I-70, we stopped off at Georgetown. There's supposed to be a place where you can see longhorn rams and sheep. Longhorn sheep. Bighorn sheep. And this is why we didn't see them, because I didn't know what we were looking for. But anyway, we were looking for those animals that have the curly Q things and goats. And so we didn't see them, but we enjoyed looking for them. But you can study these creatures, and they are on the side of a cliff, and God made them and gave them the ability to do that. But what we are learning, you and I have been given ability by God to go up to a higher place, and we're supposed to be ruling and reigning. And this is, you know, it's easy to get condemned in this, because, you know, the devil slapped me around, condemned me before, but I truly believe that we should be a people that never get sick. Amen. And if you get sick, you have the ability to overcome it. Amen. I believe we should be a people that causes finances to increase in your life. You know, and I said, you know, it's not about money. It's not about being famous. No, it's not. But having said that, how many know it takes money to live? You know, people say, God doesn't care about money. Oh, I beg to differ. If he didn't care about money, he wouldn't have had a treasurer in his 12 disciple program. Right. He had a treasurer. Why? Because they traveled. How many know it takes food money to buy the food when you're traveling? And when they stayed in a place, they didn't just go, my name is Jesus. I know this is the Hilton, but we're just here. Can you give us a room for free? I mean, no, they had to pay for every place they went, you know? And so he needed money. So religious people sometimes try to just get real super spiritual and say God doesn't care about money. He does care about money, because he knows it takes money for you and I to work or to live down here. And so I believe Deuteronomy chapter 8 says that God has given us the power to get wealth. So there is a power on the inside of us that money should be attracted to you and me. Health should be attracted to you and me. And all the goodness of God is attracted to you and me 24/7. I mean, we're just glowing objects in the spiritual realm. You know, I used to glow when I was young because I get so sunburned, I would glow. But anyway, we are supposed to be glowing with the goodness of God. That's what is the goodness of God. It's being healthy. But there's three major things that cause people not to make it or just to have sucky lives. I don't know other way to say it. And that is your health, your finances, and your relationships. Those three. If either one of those are really, really bad, you're not going to be a happy camper. You can be a billionaire, but if your health, just, you know, Steve Jobs had all the money in the world, and that did not keep him healthy. There's people that are healthy, and they're just so poor, they can't do anything. You know, if I could, I would love to help you. Some people have told me this in the past. You know, if I just had money, Pastor, I would just give it to the church. If I had money, you know, when we were on this minister's conference, there was a friend of mine. I worked with him for FedEx, and he's now, he was a pastor in Durango, and now he's a missionary in Africa, and he was there. And he's raising money to build schools for a city in Uganda. I forgot the name of it. But you know what my first thought was? My first thought was all of us ministers in here should be able to say, how much money do you need? And flip open your checkbook and able to write a check. I believe that's the will of God. You may disagree with that, and that's okay. I disagree with myself sometimes, and I don't get offended over myself. But I just believe there is a higher place. But listen to me, if the church doesn't believe that that's possible, then you won't even look to go there. You won't even look to go there. When I was younger, I've climbed some high places before that were super dangerous. And, you know, and my wife says, I'm glad I didn't know you back then. But this is the thing. I thought that I could do it. And so I did it. And guess what happened? I got to the destination. I got there. If we don't realize it is a possibility for you and me to walk in health, to walk in prosperity, to walk in victory. And not only for, just listen to me, it's not just for you. This is the important thing. It's to give it out to others. There are so many sick people, so many, you know, probably most of y'all don't know. You know Mylon Lefevre? Two people. Anyway. Thought this was going to be a great story, but he was a rock and roll guy, and then he got saved and he got turned on to Jesus, and then he started singing contemporary Christian music back in the 70s and 80s, and so you can Google search him. But I don't know if this is true, but it came up on one of my Facebook things. I was looking at it this morning, right after I finished prayer, I looked at Facebook. But anyway, He passed away 2 days ago. He was 78 years old, and I went, 78? And I don't know if this is true. I'm just going by what I read. It said he died of cancer. And the first thought that rose up inside of me was anger. Mm-hmm. Was anger. Because I thought somebody around him or close to him should have been able to lay hands on him and get that dude healed. I believe there is people that are going to be raised up that have a holy anger against sickness and disease. I'm going to be one of them. Amen. To be so angry. Because, man, I mean, 10 or 15 years ago, that would not have been my response. I mean, oh, man, what a bum. Man, he was a great guy. Next. But I closed my computer and I got up and I started walking around and praying. And I just said, Lord, this should not be. It just shouldn't be. All of us in here have had people that died before their time. And it wasn't because God took them. It wasn't because God took them. It was because we didn't have a revelation of the healing power of God that dwells inside of us. Amen. I believe it's possible. I'm telling you, if you all listen to, that, to those 19 sessions of Curry Blake on healing, he'll slap you upside the head. He'll slap you upside the head, and it, in a good way, to realize that sickness has no right on your body or anybody's body. Yeah, Pastor, but they've sinned. If that's what you believe, that sin is more powerful than healing, you don't know God. Greater is He that is in us. Healing is greater than any sin. We don't read the Bible like we should. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Jesus healed them all. He didn't say, before I heal you, I need a survey. How many of y'all sleeping around? Just come on, let's just be honest. Give me how many of y'all has been sinning? How many of you doing that? Jesus didn't do that. You know, there's been preachers that want to do that, but you know, Jesus never did do that. Amen. He didn't take a survey to see what kind of lifestyle they had. What did He do? He healed them all. Over and over and over again. And if they didn't get healed, He would come up to him and say, what's going on? Let me see. Jesus is a healer. Sickness should not keep you from receiving. Sin should not keep you from receiving healing. Nothing should come in between you and the healing power of God, because it's freely given. With no strings attached. Woo! How many think that's good news? How many think it's good news that healing is available to all with no strings attached, with no subliminal things on the bottom saying, unless? No, there is no unless. Healing is available to whosoever will. I tell you what, I am just getting eaten up with this. I am. Anytime, you know, I hear somebody say, well, you know, but. That means everything you said before you don't believe, and now we're getting ready to hear what you do believe. This is what I believe. Jesus, His desire is for everyone to be healed. Period. There's no but behind that. It's the will of God. It's the will of God. I don't care what. Don't come up and say, well, let me tell you my story. No, let me tell you my story. The stripes of Jesus took everything upon His back for you. That's the story you need to hear. It's the story. It's the will of God that none should perish. None. Absolutely zero to perish. It's the will of God for you and me to walk in health and strength and victory over every sickness and disease. And He wants you and I to know that so you can impart that to everybody who's sick and diseased and on their deathbed. He wants you to be an imparter. What if it doesn't happen? Man, I tell you what, that has happened to me so many times. But I'm having better success now because I see better now. You know, the better you see, the better direction you can go on your path. The better you see, the better you can get to your destination, you know? I mean, just, you know, we don't want to do this. Well, what if everybody just closed their eyes? I said, okay, you're dismissed. And everybody just started walking out with their eyes closed. Some of you maybe could get to the back door. Some of you will probably be dialing 911. But I mean, you know, it would just be difficult. But our eyes are getting opened up to the goodness of God. To realize He wants me healed. He wants me healed. He wants me blessed. He not only wants my needs met, He wants me to have an abundance so I can just, man, it just feels so good. We were up in the mountains. We were eating this in Glenwood, it was some kind of cafe, Swedish cafe or something. It had a neat name that attracted Melody. But anyway, I went there because they had crepes with fruit and all kinds of whipped cream on top. That's why I went. But anyway, I was eating there, and it was great. And there was this couple over there, and I was just drawn to them so much. And I went, wow, man, why? I didn't know. So you know what? I just felt like, I'm going to buy their meal. I want to pay for their meal. So I walked up when we were getting ready. I paid for mine, and I says, I want to pay for that couple's meal right there. And the lady looked at me like, okay. Like I fell out of some Okay, what species are you? You are an alien. Listen to me. Listen to me now. I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back. Listen to me. This needs to be in every believer. That you want to be a blessing. If you're just thinking about, I'm going to get this, I want this, and I want that. God doesn't have a problem with you having stuff. He doesn't. He told David. You read it. You know, he had that affair with Bathsheba. God told, through Nathan the prophet, said, hey, listen, if you wanted more wives, I could have given you more. Go back and read it. I'm thinking, wait, what? Yeah, if it was a women thing, I could have given. We have to understand the culture back there. Don't some of you men go, wait, what? No. I'm getting this CD, tape, whatever. I'm getting, no. But anyway, that's not what he's talking about. God was saying this to David. Anything you needed, I would have provided it for you. You didn't have to get into sin and try to fulfill your own need yourself. He says, you were trying to fulfill your need yourself. If you would have come to me, I would have fulfilled your need. My point is this. God wants you to be so blessed that it's easy for you. You don't have to look at your checkbook and go, well, I can't buy their meal. I can barely pay for mine. Come on now. I said, come on now. It's just, if you don't want to be there, that's fine. God's not going to pressure you. You can just live paycheck to paycheck and go into the grave and go see Jesus and everything will be great. But I'm here to tell you, when I leave, I'm going to leave an inheritance for my children and for my children's children. Because that's the will of God. In Proverbs, he says, a righteous man, which is a man who's connected to God, leaves an inheritance to your children and to your children's children. You got to have more than $1,000 in your bank account for that to happen. And he says, the righteous people are a blessing to those. The Bible says, if you're like Abraham, he was a blessing to everybody around him. I don't know about you, but you know, we can shove the gospel down people's throats all you want. But man, if you sit there and say, I'm going to pay off your house, they may listen to you say something about the gospel. I don't know, if somebody wanted to pay my house off, I would go, and who are you? I want to have lunch with you. And since you're paying my house off, I will buy your lunch. And just talk to them. I'm just saying, there's some great things that we can do that is outside of the box because of the goodness of God. Are you hearing me? That's my opinion. If you're here today, you say, man, I don't believe that, especially the prosperity stuff. I don't believe that. That's fine. That is so fine. You can disbelieve anything that I say in this message, and you're still welcome to come back. But I like what, if you keep coming back, I'm just going to warn you. Brother Hagin said this years ago. He's up in heaven. He says, you hang around a muddy pond long enough, you'll slide in. So you just keep coming back, sweetheart. And we'll get down there in the mud with you, and we'll all be one happy pig right there in the mud, man. I tell you what. Amen? Let's stand. That was a bad illustration. Sometimes I have good illustrations. Sometimes after I say them, I go, man, that was really dumb. Anyway, praise God. Listen, relationships. God wants you to have great relationships. Amen. The greatest relationship you can have is with your Heavenly Father, and He'll help you to have horizontal relationships. You can have the best marriage. I'm the happiest with my marriage than I've ever been. 34 years of marriage. Melanie and I, when we were in Glenwood, man, we had the most awesome. Listen, we had a great time. And it took, how many heard about I-70 getting shut down? There was a wreck and the fire. Yeah, we were stuck in that. Took 8.5 hours. Yeah, to get to Glenwood. I thought we were going all the way to California by the time we got there. But anyway, took 8.5 hours, man. It was just like, oh, dear Jesus. Let's just believe right now for, what is it called? Translation, yeah, I wanted the Star Trek thing to happen. but I wanted my truck to be able to do it. I didn't want to leave my truck. Anyway. But we just had a great time. And Melody and I both said, you know, it didn't seem like 8.5 hours just because we got to talk and be together. God wants you to have a great marriage. He wants you to have great friends. He wants you to have great relationships. The three major things that people struggle with: health, finances, and relationships. God has provided grace and the answer for all three of those. Spirit, soul, and body. He's an all. He's a God that takes care of it all. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name for your power, your ability that is in this place. It's just you, Jesus. It's nothing that we had to do. No arm twisting. The power of God in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. And so, Father, I'm sure there's people here today that may be struggling in their physical body. Something not working right. Some pain. Something this, something that. A bad knee or bad this or whatever. I thank you for the power of God that is in us. And so by your authority and by your name, we speak health and healing to every person here in Jesus' name. Bodies to function right. Organs to function right. Systems to function right. Sickness to leave. Any cancerous or any tumor, any type of growth or any thing that's in a body that shouldn't be there, we speak to it and command it to dissolve and be gone out of people's bodies. We speak to bodies the way that Jesus did. He spoke and they were healed. We believe for bodies that are being in this place to hear the authority of the name of Jesus, and we say, be healed, be whole, and you recover. Bodies recover. Bodies recover in the name of Jesus. And Father, give people ideas about finances. Open up doors that no man can open. Give people ideas about the ability to get wealth. That money will be attracted to them. Deals will be attracted to them. Businesses will be attracted to them. Promotions will be attracted to them. For they are surrounded with the favor of God, and they are the righteousness of God in Christ. So we speak blessing to everybody here. And Father, concerning relationships, their eyes to be opened and realize how much God loves them. So it's an easy thing to forgive. It's an easy thing to love because of how much we've been forgiven and how much we are loved. They can love their spouse. They can love their children. They can love their parents. They can love their relatives, their boss, the ones that have been getting underneath their skin at work or maybe in driving and traffic. All of those, Father, the love of God to consume it all in Jesus' name. Amen.